It's Friday, March 29th, 2024, and I'm Dave Sobel. Three things to know today. CISA and the NSA release best practices for MSPs to bolster cybersecurity measures. The Q1 2024 diversity report and the emotional quotient of AI, understanding technology's impact beyond business outcomes. This is the business of tech. With as many breaches and security concerns as I report in this show, it should be obvious that cybersecurity is not just about technology, but also the human expertise needed to interpret and respond to complex threats. Huntress is focused on elevating SMBs and MSPs around the world. Huntress has a suite of fully managed cybersecurity solutions powered by a 24/7 human-led SOC, dedicated to continuous monitoring, expert investigation, and rapid response. And the proof is the execution. Huntress is the number one rated EDR for SMBs on G2. Want to know more about the platform? Visit huntress.com/MSBradio to learn more. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has released a 447-page draft new rule for reporting cyber incidents in critical infrastructure organizations. The rule, mandated by the Cyber Incident Reporting for Critical Infrastructure Act, requires organizations to report incidents within specific timeframes. The goal is to improve incident tracking and response and identify vulnerabilities in critical infrastructure. The public can provide feedback on the draft before it becomes official. Before you tune out, thinking these federal-sized pieces of news are only big companies, according to CISA, nearly 311,000 small entities would be covered by proposed cyber attack reporting rules. The Federal Risk Authorization and Management Program, or FedRAMP, is undergoing an overhaul with a new roadmap that outlines goals, initiatives, and near-term priorities. The program aims to bring in automation, test reciprocity, and speed up reviews. The roadmap includes pilots focused on agile software development, machine-readable authorization packages, low-review processes with trusted partners, and technology platform migration. The program also plans to hire a new FedRAMP director. The goal is to address longstanding issues, increase efficiency, and get more FedRAMP-authorized products into the federal marketplace. The Department of Defense is seeking to enhance the cyber defenses of its vendors by implementing a new defense industrial-based cyber strategy. The strategy aims to provide a more centralized and cohesive approach to cyber protection services, expand the pool of companies eligible to participate, and improve access to existing cyber protection programs. The strategy does not provide detailed information on how it will interact with the impending Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, or CMMC. Still, it promises to clarify existing language and develop forums for ongoing discussions with industry stakeholders. The Pentagon is developing a shared virtual cloud-based workspace for small contractors to enhance their cybersecurity. The goal is to pilot the program with up to 75 small businesses to assess data security in a cloud environment. If successful, the program could be scaled and offered to more companies. And CISA and the National Security Agency have released a set of best cybersecurity practices for managed services providers, or MSPs. The agencies emphasize the need for more visibility into MSPs' IT operations and recommend that organizations select MSPs willing to provide such visibility. They also advise organizations to consider agreements for notification and recovery in case of security breaches, adopt identity access management tools, and not rely on a single provider of managed security services. MSPs are urged to demonstrate value and set expectations up front to minimize blame in the event of a cybersecurity incident. Why do we care? I want to highlight my interview recently with Mike Semmel, who warns that many vendors serving the MSP community are not ready for FedRAMP and CMMC 2.0. Ultimately, this is all the power of the purse to drive change in the industry. While I don't expect most providers to pursue this federal work, a class of providers will have prepared for it and leveraged those capabilities for their commercial clients. Don't say I didn't warn you. Each quarter, this podcast releases our research data on the makeup of IT leadership, broken down by race and sex. By surveying public websites, we're looking to track the change over time. This quarter, we surveyed 301 companies and 4,379 humans, 47% vendors, 48% technology providers. This quarter, we found that 89.6% are white and 3.3% are black. The breakdown is also 78% male. This is nearly identical to last quarter, although roughly 0.2%
are black.
The data remains similar between vendors and tech providers, and while the previous quarter was slightly different between the two, this quarter, they're back to nearly the same. When we look at publicly traded or Fortune 100 companies, the numbers do improve for women, up 1 percentage point this quarter to 26%. The racial divide remains within 2%. Also of note is that this data has been consistent since we began the report in September 2020. Let's compare industries. A survey of members of the Association of National Advertisers reveals that while there's been progress in the ethnic and racial diversity of CMOs and equivalents, overall diversity in the marketing industry has dropped. The percentage of diverse CMOs increased to 17.3%, 14.6% in 2022, but Hispanic and Latino representation remains low. On the other hand, women continue to make gains at the leadership level, with 59.9% of CMOs being female. However, racial and ethnic diversity in ANA membership decreased to 30.8% from 32.3% the previous year. Executives remain committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives despite a rising backlash. A survey of 322 U.S. executives found that 57% had expanded DEI programs in the past year, while 36% had maintained them. However, 59% of executives believed that backlash against these efforts had increased since the Supreme Court decision on race in university admissions. Companies are now auditing their DEI initiatives to mitigate legal risks. Overall, the programs remain important for employee relations and talent strategies. And before we get to Friday Big Ideas, what big idea from Insperity's CEO, Paul Sabarty? Writing on chiefexecutive.net, the CEO believes that DEI has become a way for companies to manage liabilities and has lost its effectiveness. Companies can achieve better business performance and outcomes by emphasizing commonality, equality, and cohesiveness. Why do we care? I don't care what you call the investment. Commonality, equality, and cohesiveness sounds great. And to my ear, diversity, equity, and inclusion are positive ideas. Diversity of thought brings great ideas. But the words aren't the point. Business results are, and I continue to be, in business, building better companies. VIX is a component of that goal. It's time for some Friday Big Ideas. TechCrunch talks about the challenges of reviewing AI systems and why it's crucial to attempt reviews despite the difficulties. The rapid pace of model releases, the complexity of those models as platforms with multiple services, and the lack of transparency from companies make comprehensive evaluation impossible. However, qualitative analysis serves as a real-world counterweight to industry hype. The article highlights the limitations of synthetic benchmarks and the emergence of unknown qualities in AI models. TechCrunch aims to provide subjective judgments based on hands-on experience and a general sense of the capabilities of AI models through a systematic testing approach, and the article walks through their approach. MIT Technology Review dives into how Adobe's approach to generative AI, exemplified by its image-generating model Firefly, stands out as an example of building responsible tech without scraping copyrighted data from the internet. By training Firefly on content with explicit licenses and compensating creators, Adobe aims to recognize and fairly compensate human labor. The approach protects creators' rights, helps combat misinformation, and promotes content moderation. The integration of AI tools into existing products, such as Photoshop, has been well received and has attracted new customers to Adobe. Marcus Zim of Workato writes that generative AI has the potential to revolutionize business processes by allowing companies to run entire knowledge processes through natural language prompts. These processes, dynamically created by AI brains, integrate with applications, data sources, and human experts to generate insights and increase efficiency. Human validation steps remain crucial in this paradigm, as LLMs still require human supervision. Well-architected data flows and end-to-end process orchestrations will be essential for successful implementation, offering immense promise for businesses. FIDO Alliance CEO Andrew Shekar believes that our dependence on passwords will be gone in the next several years as pass keys are gaining traction as more big companies show support. Pass keys use public key cryptography and possess-based authentication, making them more secure against phishing attacks. The FIDO Alliance aims to have half of the top 1,000 sites supporting pass keys by 2026. While passwords won't be eliminated, pass keys are expected to become the dominant form of sign-in in the near future. And I wanted to go offbeat with a moving article in the New York Times. Madeline DiFigurio writes in Modern Love about her experiences cloning her dead husband's voice with AI for his 27th birthday. We talk a lot about the business side of tech, and with this, I didn't want to lose sight of the human side. She writes of her longing for a genuine conversation with her husband and reflects on the limitations of technology in dealing with grief. Why do we care? I included the TechCrunch perspective because I suspect many providers are pondering how to evaluate models themselves. I appreciated the transparency. I'm going to linger on the human side of technology. Want better business outcomes? Factor in the emotional component of technology implementation. There are some great business concepts here today, but loyal customers are also driven by emotion. Looking to reach an audience of thousands of MSPs and IT service providers? Put your ad right here on the Business of Tech and be on the show that 64% of MSPs report having listened to, a recurring top 50 tech news podcast. There are affordable options for you to reach our audience, and we can support any budget. Podcast listeners are more engaged, have a higher level of brand retention, and are more willing to listen to ads here than any other avenues. Want to know more? There's information at mspradio.com/engage, including a button to book a time to talk. Looking forward to that discussion. Thanks for listening. Today is Mom and Pop Business Owner Day, and I wanted to honor all small business owners who listen to this show. Now, I'm taking a break next week, but you have lots of great content coming. Tomorrow, you'll get the live show from Wednesday, which includes updates from Enable's Empower event. Then there's an interview with Nick Lorizio, whose MSP is taking a different path, plus AI sales with Thomas Ryan, the latest service leadership compensation report with Peter Kujawa, and learn about NIS2 compliance and why American companies should care with Eric John Frazier. And the tables get turned as I share my appearance on Slow Smoke Business, where I get interviewed and host Jared Morgan and I also smoke some barbecue. And yes, there is a live show next week. If you have a question you want answered, I'll answer it. Send it, ideally as a voice memo or a video, to question@mspradio.com. The live show will also be a news update and will drop in the feed on Wednesday. It's live on YouTube and LinkedIn, 3 p.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button, follow, or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.